Welcome to Cascade Church Podcast,
a church we hope is both safe to be and safe to grow.
Enjoy!
Good morning to you all. My name is Kurt. I'm a co-pastor here. And I'm excited in this month of February that we get to hear from one of our longest and dearest friends in the Cascade community. So if you're new here, this is a friend that we adore having here. And if you've been here for a long time, it's Leroy. Isn't that great? And so he's going to be leading and guiding us in a conversation this morning that we're excited for. So would you all welcome Leroy Barber.
Good morning. I got to do a little better. Good morning. And welcome. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All right? Are we going to have a long morning? Are y'all going? All right. We won't have a long. Oh, love that song, by the way. So it's good to be here. And I feel like when I come here, like I'm back home with family and friends, and we're comfortable and we know each other. So it's Black History Month, as you know. I come here more than just February. Let's just get that out of the way. I always say I'm the busiest in February because you know people want to have a black man preach in February, but it's good that you know I'm here a lot. So more than just February. So good to be here. But the other piece about being here that I enjoy is that we can go into some conversations, right? And we can have some real talk. And I like to leave a couple minutes at the back end just to talk back a little bit. So we'll do that. But today I want to dive into this topic. Of reparations, and the reason I want to do it here is I'll give you a little background. I get involved in a lot of activist kinds of things, one of them is this idea of reparations. And I'm telling you, I have gone to D.C., testified before Congress, like lobbied, like people in Congress, did press conference, like all this stuff around reparations, right? And have done that for years, and like not much has been done, right? And so I'm kind of like at a point of like, I don't know how to move forward in this conversation. It is an important one. But how we move into it. And so this past year, I've moved into it in a different space and said, why don't we just try to enter this conversation in relational context, that we have this conversation with various communities, but where we have deeper relationships so that we can really talk about it. And so I'm excited to do that here today because I feel like this is one of those places where I can talk about it. You know, actually, you can't, like, it triggers many white folks to just say the word reparations, like the word. And so there's been all this conversation about, well, let's not use that word. Let's use the word repair, right? And so in so many places, the word, they don't even use the word reparations. They say repair. Like, okay, let's talk about repair. How do we repair? I also, y'all know, I'm a preacher, and so if I'm involved in something, I wanna get some thought from the text, some thought from our tradition, right? And I think I hear a lot of this voice comes through some of the text in the Old Testament. This idea, a lot of Joel 2:25 says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And then in Jeremiah, there's this this idea that Jeremiah writes, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, right? Because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortune of Jacob's tent and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the place will stand in its proper place, right? So there is this theme, right? There is this, we pick up this theme of restoration out of the scripture, right? Of repair, of restoration, of God restoring things, bringing back to life. They seem to be deeply spiritually connected, right? Not only, like, do I think the idea of restore and repair is deeply spiritually connected, I think it's also a deep human practice, right? That as people of faith, out of our traditions, right, the idea of restore is there in our spiritual context, but it's also, I feel like, human to human, restoration and restoring is one of our most powerful aspects of being human beings, to say, I'm sorry, let's restore our relationship. Let's get back on track, right? Folks who engage in counseling sessions and things, right? It's to restore, right? It's to get back on track. It's to gain something back. And so I feel like this is deeply spiritual and deeply human, the idea of restoring and restoration. And I want to link that to then if the church is God in practice in the world, right, then the idea of restoring and repair and restoration, right, it should be deeply a part of our practice. It is one of our tangible distinctives, right? Like a tangible distinctive of honoring the tradition in which we're a part of, our deep connection as human beings, and then our practice as a community of church has everything to do with how we restore, how we repair, right? How we rebuild seems to hit right to the heart of God. And so the idea of how we will be known in the world, restoring and restoration is a part of that. And we see in the New Testament this pickup of this Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, Jesus identifies and says, "Hey, I wanna hang with you. I wanna connect with you. Like, let's get in relationship together." And there is a repair that is needed. And Zacchaeus goes, "Cool. Like, what I'm gonna do first is I'm gonna repair these things that I've ruined. And if I've harmed folks, I'm going to pay them back four times of what I've taken. Now let's get down, Jesus," right? This idea sits there strongly. So what, in context of the idea of reparations and repair, what does that look like? What is the idea that we have reparations, the making up, I'll just read a quick definition, the making of amends for a wrong that one has done by paying money or otherwise helping those who have been wronged, right? So this reparations idea is one of making amends for some wrong that has been done. Now, I do think there's a couple There's a couple really cool practices that aren't talked a lot about. One is the idea of gleaning, and the other is the idea of jubilee, right? So gleaning was this practice where if you had a field and you planted a vineyard or whatever, that you would leave part of that for folks, right, who are poor or outcast or going through hard times or whatever. You would leave part of your field for other folks to just glean what they need, right? Like no judgment, no application needed, right? Nothing. Like the field is there, and if your family is in need or your situation calls for it, glean, right? Go work that field and take care of your family. So that was an idea that was there in the Old Testament. Then this idea of jubilee, right? Every 50th year, all debts, right, wiped out, right? Every 50th year, everything goes back to zero, right? Seemingly, this idea that what we are dealing with in generation after generation after generation of poverty and struggle was never meant to be in the economy that God put forth for us as human beings, right? Multi-generational poverty was never meant to be, right? That a reset would happen every 50 years, and that the faith community, the people of faith, would lead that charge in going, wiped out, done, we'll start over. So those two things are there. What do we know about reparations? We know that this is not a concept that our country doesn't understand. They know what this is. Is that first slide? Can you pop it up? Let me see which one it is. Yes, here it is. So the U.S. government has paid reparations before, right? This has been done, right? $1.6 billion to Japanese Americans in turn during World War II. Compensated Native American tribes, $1.3 billion between 46 and 78, right? And so we know that this has been done, right? This is not a foreign concept that we don't understand, we don't know. The United States of America has paid reparations, right? Like, let's nail that truth down, right? Because some of the conversations is, well, we don't know. No. That's not the conversation, right? We're going to get to the conversation. The conversation is not about whether we can do reparations. What's that? What's the second slide? Oh, it's right there. I don't have to turn around. Oh, y'all got some good stuff in here. A system of redress for egregious injustices. A system of redress for egregious injustices. Native Americans, Japanese internment, and get the third one, Holocaust. The United States has paid reparations for Holocaust. The egregious thing that it is that United States did not do. Right? That wasn't the United States. That was Germany. But we have paid reparations for Holocaust. So next slide. just recently. This was about a month ago. New York secured $183 million in compensation for Holocaust victims and their heirs. Remember, the United States did not commit this crime against the Jewish community. But we are paying reparations. Let's move. Here is the question. Slavery was one thing, right? I want to contend that slavery was the tip of the iceberg. That if the holdup point is slavery was a long time ago, and I had nothing to do with it, I, for sake of argument, am going to give you that point. But slavery was the tip. There was Jim Crow. There was housing restrictions, redlining and blockbusting, voter rights denied, highways built in the middle of black and brown communities, specifically to break up their economic viability. Left out of the GI Bill, soldiers come back from war and weren't allowed to be a part of the GI Bill, black soldiers, so weren't able to buy the same housing and get the same benefits as white soldiers. Left out of unions when all the union contracts were paid, that black people were left out of those unions, left out of the initial Social Security bill. When Social Security started, black people's jobs were mostly domestics, right? And jobs like that and labor jobs were left out of Social Security. Racial profiling, mass incarceration, the list goes on and on and on. We ain't talking just about slavery. We are talking about a system that has benefited many, many people and has taken away from black people. We are simply talking repaying based on harm. And pop that question up. This is the question that sits before us, my friends. Why? Why is there so much resistance to reparations and repair for black people? Can we play that excerpt from Renee Watson?
Black girl, you are Atlas. The way you carry the weight of the hood on your shoulders like a too heavy backpack. How you big sister the black boys on the playground, in the classroom, in the back row of the choir stand who need a good stare down every now and then. You already know when to tell your friend he ain't the one for you. You already know she won't listen, and you will be there to wipe her tears when love fails her. Black girl, you are Atlas. The way your very presence in a room is a reminder of where you come from, a demand of what you are owed. Black girl, you are Atlas. Your bones a collection of histories, your blood rivers and flows. You carry the dirges, the wailing. You carry the requiem of your ancestors. You are proof of their sweet breath. You queened and ruled and slaved and plowed and escaped and fought and got captured and fought and marched and protested and raised funds and raised fists and fought and fought and passed out flyers and voted in and voted out and fought for your rights, for your peace of mind, for today, for tomorrow. Black girl, you are Atlas. You carry the jig and the two-step. You are festival and feast. You are nourishment and famine. Black girl, you are Atlas. You know the way back, the way forward. Black girl, you are Atlas. The way no one expected you to be the fulfillment of prophecy. But it is you, always, who holds the world up.
I try to get Donna to come and do this today because she's much better than I am. But I do want to lift up the idea that women in general and Black women getting resource will in fact lift the entire world. That we now have studies that were done by the World Bank that says when women and women of color get resource, that the entire community is lifted. And if you want to check out those stats, check out the World Bank. They did a study back in 2011. And so we know that if reparations, if resource and money gets in the hands of women, and I would say Black women, then our human connection point of restoration can be enacted fully. And our faith can tie in, and we can come to some spiritual moments. I wanna chop this up for a couple minutes, but I do wanna close because I think the scripture brings us to some really good promises if we're able to get this work done. And a God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And to the God of grace, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. I think there is a call within this idea of restoration, this idea of repair. If we can wrap our heads around reparations, if we can get past this idea that Black people are inferior and move resource to where it needs to be moved, then I think we see some recovery in our world, in our society. So that wasn't a Leroy typical kind of rah-rah sermon, but I think it's a conversation that I've been wanting to have with family. So, and I see many of you as that. So, comments, questions. We got a couple minutes. I don't know if we do or not, but.